Coming up next on this episode of The Social Hour, Amber's got a surprise guest for me. They're going to be joining us via Skype, and I don't know who they are, and I'm a little afraid. Plus, we've got path stickers and comments. It's getting nuts up in here. Don't go anywhere.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Audio bandwidth provided by the new Winamp for Android, featuring wireless sync and one-click iTunes import. Now with free daily music downloads and full-length CD listening parties. Download it for free at winamp.com/android. Bandwidth for The Social Hour is brought to you by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is The Social Hour with Sarah Lane and Amber MacArthur, episode 119, recorded Friday, July 12th, 2013. This episode of The Social Hour is brought to you by Social Media Solutions from SAP. If you're a social media manager at a large enterprise, gain insight and engage in social media with Social Media Solutions from SAP to improve your customer service and support experience. Take a guided tour at sap.com/twit. And by audible.com. To download a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/social hour. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another fun-filled edition of The Social Hour from Twit World headquarters in Petaluma, California. I'm Sarah Lane.
And I'm Amber MacArthur in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. And Sarah, as I mentioned last week, we have a surprise guest for you. And I cannot take really much credit for this because it was Tony at Twit who set this up. And we kind of worked together behind the scenes, but he did all of the really hard work. So are you ready if we introduce our surprise guest?
I am ready. I'm a little freaked out because, you know, surprises are scary. But sure, yes, I am ready to unveil our surprise guest.
All right. Here we go. Oh,
it's you.
Not me.
That's Amber,
not
you
me.
Look so good.
Thank you. I'm here again.
Surprise guest.
Week. We're going to have a...
Is it a cat? What?
Take a look.
Are you serious? Are you serious? Is this real?
Yeah. Hi,
oh
Mike.
Oh, my God. It's Lil Bob. How did you...
It's Tony, man. Tall Tony.
So, Lil Bob owner, can you hear us?
I'm so embarrassed.
Oh, hey.
Oh
hi,
gosh.
Mike. I'm Amber. Thanks for coming on the show.
It's Lil Bob. Oh, my God. I have to tweet about this right now.
That's so cool. So this is a bit of a surprise, as you can probably tell, Mike, for Sarah. And thanks for doing this and setting this up with Tony. And thanks for having Lil Bob on. And I will tell you that I was never a big cat fan. And I have to say, Sarah has shifted my mind over the weeks on The Social Hour because I know how much she loves cats, how excited she gets.
It's Bob.
And she didn't even believe it was real when you showed up. So, Mike, thanks for coming on the show. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so... Thank you so much for being on the show. I'm dying right now. Lil Bob. Oh, it's Bob. She's just so cute. She's such a cute. Okay. All right. So how did this all happen? Tell me everything.
Well, Tony just sent me an email, right, Mike? He sent you an email and...
Yeah, he just said that that you're a big fan of Bob and asked if we'd be on the show. And I said, sure. Why not?
Now, where are you right now?
Well... We live in Bloomington, Indiana, and I'm in my recording studio, actually.
Very cool.
Yeah.
And how is Lil Bub doing?
She's great. We're recording the theme song for her new show all day today. And we had to get some footage of her with the musicians for the show, so she was already here. And I figured we'd just do this from here. It looks cool, too, so.
It looks awesome. Now, Lil Bub looks a little, like, you know, she might be ready for a nap or something like that. Is she,
No, she's good.
So I have two cats, and I know how cats can be. Now, Lil Bub is, as I have seen from little snippets of her documentary that I know quite a bit about, that she is a bit of a traveler. You know, like, been on the subway and stuff like that. How does that work? Because she's a cat, after all.
Well, but she's a space cat. I really think she must
alien
be
alien cats.
So the first time, our first trip was Good Morning America, like a year ago, and I agreed to do it, and was very nervous. Obviously, I have four other cats, and I would never dream of taking them anywhere. I had a feeling she'd be okay, but was still, you know, concerned about how she'd react. And honestly, I was like blown away that she's like this everywhere we go. Totally calm. I've seen her get, you know, nervous or about stuff, but it's pretty much exclusively around dogs and cats. But as far as being on planes, cars, trains, subways, in public, she's totally cool with it.
Now, Lil Bub is a huge internet phenomenon. I am just one of many of her minions. You know, very successful on all the big networks like YouTube and Facebook. And there's like a Lil Bub and Friends spinoff Facebook group. I'm also part of that.
There is?
Yeah, oh yeah. You have thousands strong of Lil Bub's friends. But, I mean, for anybody who's certainly not heard me talk about her history that much, I mean, if you were to just sort of the short version of why Lil Bub is so special and unique, how would you explain that to people?
Sure. Well, she's a rescue. She was found by my friend's mom in a tool shed. And the lady noticed right away that she was different. And the way she's different is, well, she's a dwarf. She has dwarfism. And she has extra toes on every paw. So she's polydactyl. She has an underdeveloped lower jaw. And her teeth never grew in. So that's why her tongue hangs out. She also has these pretty awesome eyes, really big eyes. And her body's really long. And so that's what makes her look so unique.
So cute.
Yeah, so she's a rescue cat, and, you know, part of her message is, you know, to adopt and spay and neuter your pets, and to, you know, she encourages people to adopt special needs pets. And she's a special needs pet in that, well, her mobility is not what it should be, and that's because of a bone disease that she has. But other than that, she's perfectly healthy, and, you know, I help her get around and stuff. And actually, she's been doing a lot better, so she's been, like, running and jumping lately, which is great.
That's awesome. Now, the whole sort of, like, story behind Lil Bub, obviously, is that, yeah, she's from alien planet, she's special, she's not like other cats. I mean, is that something that you thought, were you already really present on the internet enough to say, I could sort of make a meme out of this, or how did that come about?
So, yeah, I like to think that Bub's not part of the meme culture. I don't know if there have been any real memes with her. A few people have made some, but for me, it's really about Bub. And I just posted pictures online because someone encouraged me. You know, they saw pictures over and they said, you should start a blog. So all of this stuff was pretty new to me. Obviously, I had a Facebook, but Tumblr and Instagram, all that stuff was new. And it all happened organically. So I basically posted photos online, and people responded instantly. She had like a devoted cult following within a few weeks of strangers emailing me. And it was the messages I was getting. Like she really meant a lot to these people. Like messages like, Bub, pictures of Bub are the only thing that get me through grad school. Or, you know, I've been so sick or depressed and Bub helps me with this every day. And so that's when I was like, I should just keep doing this, and kept posting photos. And it's been going on for over a year now. And it's all, everything that's happened from the book, from the TV show, the movie, it's all been organic. So I don't seek out any of these opportunities. They all just come to us. So basically all I do is the blog. And then when things happen and someone says, you want to write a book? I'm like, sure, we could write a book. And through all this, I involve my friends. So like everything we do, the videos, the book, all this, it's just me and my friends having fun and doing cool stuff with my cat.
What do you think is one of the best things that about what has happened so far with Lil Bub and the book and the TV show? You know, what does it mean to you overall?
Well, it all happened so fast and keeps happening so fast. You know, it just keeps going. But it's sort of like this. I really enjoy it. It's work for me. You know, I spend about 60 to 80 hours a week doing Bub stuff. But for one, it's like, Bub is for once someone that's more important to me than myself, you know, sort of like having a kid. and just the, you know, how much joy she brings to people is really inspiring to me and makes me feel good about doing this. And we raise a lot of money for charity, and I get to travel a lot. I get to meet cool people, and it's just like an entirely positive experience. There's nothing about it that, you know, people see Bub and they just fall in love and everyone's in a good mood. And, you know, the only stressful thing is taking care of her. And that's, you know, she's getting better. So it's all good.
Yeah. I mean, some people in our IRC chat room who are watching this live and of course have questions, who say things like, I mean, is it like, you mentioned book deal and Bub's got a TV show and there's a movie, and it's like, that sounds like, wow, this guy must be raking it in.
Yeah. We're not raking it in. There's a lot of overhead the way I decided to do things. I've turned a lot of stuff down. I only do things that I feel are right. And so if we get a huge advance for a book, I'm going to spend every penny out of it making the best book I can for my cat. And like all our merchandise, we do have merchandise. We donate a really generous amount. We've donated far more than I have kept. And anything that I've kept up to this point has been used to pay the overhead on my recording studio, which I don't have time to run anymore. So I think, you know, eventually it's a job for me now. And I, you know, it'd be nice if I could, it would be sustainable, which I think it will be. And that would be nice, but that's not the reason I'm doing it, is to make money. And it's easy for people, and, you know, we get people are like, oh, you're exploding your cat. But really the money goes towards her health. I take really good care of her. In fact, I get to spend way more time with her now than I did before. We're not really raking it in, but obviously there's money coming in, and we just put it back into the whole Bub thing.
Cool. And what about the TV show? Because that's a fairly recent thing that has happened, or I should say the web series. Can you talk a little bit about what we can expect with that?
Sure. Yeah, we're really excited about it. That's been like the focus of my efforts the past month. It's called Little Bub's Big Show. It's going to be a web series with Revision 3, which is like this YouTube channel. And
I used to work at Revision 3, believe it or not. Yep, we're all connected.
They're great. And, you know, it's pretty ambitious. Obviously there's going to be like really great just footage of Bub being Bub and doing cool stuff, like a day in the life of Bub sort of stuff. But there's also a late night show aspect. It's called Little Bub's Big Show. And my friend Mark, who's a very, very talented director, we built this whole Bub size, like late night show set, like David Letterman. And there's like
speakers,
and so it's like Space Ghost style. She's going to interview celebrities. We've got Whoopi Goldberg lined up, and in the music industry, Steve Albini is going to be interviewed, and some other really cool people. She's going to interview like goldfish and guinea pigs and stuff.
Can I ask an obvious question and say how will we be able to, you know, scramble her alien voice so that the humans can understand her questions?
Yeah, if you watch the birthday video we posted about 2 weeks ago, that's how it's going to be. So you're going to hear squeaks and squawks. Those are all real Bub sounds, and then there's subtitles underneath. So that's how it's
going. Oh, my God. Amber, this is one of the nicest things you've ever done for me.
Yes, I have to thank Tony for coming up with the idea. He's like, what do you think? And I'm like, yes, definitely. This would be the best thing ever. So much fun.
I can't believe it's Lil Bub on our show.
I know.
On our show.
So, hey, just out of curiosity, I'm wondering what your family and friends who maybe aren't as, you know, seeing you on a day-to-day basis, what do they think of all of this attention and what you're doing? What's their reaction to it?
Really close friends, I help me with it, you know, like, my friend David designs all our merchandise and he's a good friend. And then I've got my buddies who are Bubby sitters. They all think it's great, you know. My parents, it's hard for them to wrap their heads around it a little bit, but they're very open-minded and think it's great. They were at the movie premiere in New York, which I was very nervous about, and they received it very well. You know, but I don't have a lot of time really anymore to like hang out, but it's a little weird. You know, I go out and people I don't know approach me to talk about my cat, which which is it's cool. It's a little weird.
Well, you obviously love her very much, so it must be really nice to, I mean, get such an outpouring from strange, certainly, but a positive outpouring from strangers who say things like, I've been depressed and what you're doing has really helped me. I mean, there's probably no greater gift than something like that.
Yeah, that's the best part.
Very cool. Thanks so much for joining us. Maybe before we go, and I know Sarah's not going to let you go, so I'm going to have to be the one who ends the conversation. But could you tell us where people can see more of Little Bub, the new web series, the book, all of those things? Just wrap it up for people if they want to follow the conversation.
Yeah, of course. So the website's littlebub.com. There's a website for the book, which is littlebubslittlebook.com. And there's a new video coming out soon for the book that I'm really excited about. And you can see that on her YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/LilBubBub. LilBubBub. And she's got Instagram and all that stuff, too.
Bub birthday. Yeah, Little Bub, for anybody who's like, I don't know how social all of this is, had a Google Plus hangout for her birthday not long ago. So
very social.
Yes, yeah. It was participated by some internet friends. Veronica Belmont was one of them as well. So, this is quite a treat, Mike. Thank you so much for joining us. It was really
sure.
Awesome.
I hope
to meet you in person someday, and Lil Bub too, especially since you're working with our buddies over at Revision 3 these days. Look at Bub!
So it's definitely a possibility.
Very cool. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much. Bye, Bub.
Thanks so much. Have a great weekend.
Have a good weekend, Bub.
Bye, Bub.
I feel all of a sudden like very strange doing my Bub voice because, you know, Bub's dad is like, what a psycho. But that was the best surprise I've ever had.
Is Tony there? Is he around?
He's around here somewhere. Tony, you're awesome. I don't know how you did that.
Yeah, he's pretty great.
Tony actually has been floating around more than normal today. I was like, get out of here, Tony. Now I know
why. What's going on? Yeah, now you know.
There he is.
He's got tricks
Tony.
Up his sleeve.
Oh, Lil Bub. I was like, what is that? Some sort of, what are they doing? Who is that? What
the
is
best
that?
Is Sarah when you said, is it real? Is that really? Or her, I should say.
Is that real? Well, because I thought, maybe it's some sort of like recorded message or something. Are they actually live? Well, my goodness. Let me control myself here. I had a little Bub. Lil Bub was on the social hour, everybody. My goodness.
Very awesome.
It's my internet crash. This is a big deal for me.
And Amber, there are pictures. Yeah.
Oh, wow. All right. Yeah, we had a little peanut gallery over here in Radford's office of people, like, watching Bub, you know. Like,
I love it.
Good stuff.
Super fun.
All right. Well, believe it or not, we actually do have the rest of the social hour to get to. So let's go ahead and take a moment to thank our sponsor, SAP, for sponsoring this episode. SAP, of course, is a social hour favorite because the two kind of go hand in hand. If you're a viewer or listener of the social hour and you work in social media for a large enterprise, you can keep up with the conversation as a brand that's happening in social media. People might be talking about your brand. People might be but happy with your brand. It's something that you want to be able to reach out to people for, or unhappy about something, or maybe have questions about a certain new product that you've rolled out, all sorts of stuff. This might be happening on Twitter or on someone's personal blog or as a review on various websites. And if you work at a large enterprise, you know it's hard to keep on top of that stuff sometimes. Social media solutions from SAP has you covered because they both listen to what's coming in about your brand and help you then engage with those people who have something to say. The listening component searches the social web in a smart way to know what's being said about your brand. It helps you better build products because it incorporates real-time customer feedback. It helps you identify customers who might be ready to buy what you are selling. It uses natural language processing to automatically know the difference between somebody saying, this app has never been good, I hate this app, basically, or this app has never been so good, which of course means more like, I love this new update. It's a very important distinction, although the two posts on Twitter might look really similar. The engaging component is really the important part because it allows you to improve customer service and support because it allows you to set rules about which messages to route to whom and who should deal with them. Activity on the social media stream, such as Twitter or Facebook or somebody's review, can lead to direct customer engagement because it can drive sales. You can solve your customers' problems, and you could respond to customer feedback lickety-split, and people will love you for it. If somebody posts a negative review, an agent can rapidly remedy that problem, and you end up with a happy customer. So social media solutions from SAP gives you more than marketing by improving the customer service and support experience. There's a lot more over at sap.com/twit. You can take a guided tour right now to see for yourself how social media solutions from SAP works. They're ready for us, Social Hour viewers and listeners. sap.com/twit. And thanks to SAP for sponsoring this episode of The Social Hour. All right, Amber. We've got some stories. We've got some feedback. We've got spotlights, all sorts of good stuff. I thought we'd actually start with a story that comes to us from GigaOM that's about the website and e-commerce site, The Fancy, at fancy.com, although The Fancy will take you there as well, which GigaOM calls Pinterest rival, that has gotten quite an influx of cash, $53 million from Will Smith, obviously American actor and celebrity, American Express. The company is now valued at $600 million, and I've talked about The Fancy in the past. They have a pretty good iPad app. I've covered that on iPad Today. We may have even mentioned it on The Social Hour in the past, Amber, but I guess I never really thought of The Fancy as a Pinterest rival. So I thought, gosh, you know, maybe it's a good idea to take a look at it again and see how things have changed. I do think that, for the most part, this is all stuff for sale, at least what's featured at The Fancy. It's kind of cool stuff. It reminds me a lot of Cool Hunting, what you might see.
Definitely
in that section. Have you spent much time here?
I haven't spent too much time. I'm somewhat familiar with them, but I'd say that there's a ton of cool stuff here, and I think it's a really neat idea for sure.
Yeah, it's interesting. What I went ahead and well, I was about to say pinned, just if you think of it in Pinterest terms. For example, I'm sort of looking at a housewares section. Bliss downfilled chair, it's $1,000. Well, that's kind of expensive for a chair, but it sure looks nice. I could say something like, yes, I fancy it. At that point, I can add it to a list. I can add it to my, where's my home list? Oh, here, it's already in my home list here. Add it to my home list. I could create a new list. I can say that I want it. I inadvertently posted a couple of fancy items to Twitter because it had automatically connected to my Twitter account earlier today, and it kind of ended up seeming like Twitter spam, so wasn't too crazy about that. But it is quite Pinteresty, Amber, to the point where I wonder, gosh, what's really the big difference here, and why would I hang out at The Fancy rather than Pinterest? I guess The Fancy is a little bit more of stuff that you like and want for yourself, and Pinterest might be a little bit more inspiration based?
Yeah, I mean, maybe things that you're not necessarily going to end up purchasing. And I think that's probably the best way to describe it. It really is a social commerce site. So the idea that you can come here and find interesting things that have been curated. And Sarah, I have to apologize because I keep coughing. So hold on one sec.
Oh, it's okay. I will continue to show us a little bit more about how The Fancy works. So again, I'm in the housewares section. If I want to look at more curated gift offerings, for example, The Fancy Box. Okay, well, let's go ahead and click on that. What's The Fancy Box? Obviously, the people behind the scenes are not just letting, although you can submit items to The Fancy, which is nice. There are sort of curated efforts. Wonderful things from Fancy delivered to your door each month. Aha, okay, this is interesting. So it's not just a online commerce solution. This is actually, there's a category of Fancy items that you can actually get delivered to you. Kind of almost reminds me of like a Foodsy type of a thing from back in the day, which was also a monthly service that you put together and get kind of interesting food. There are apparently some celebrities that are associated with The Fancy, which leads me to believe, well, maybe that's why Will Smith has given the company money. I wonder if that's maybe a leg up that The Fancy has. But in general, I like this a lot. It's certainly an interesting way to find and surface items that are that are cool and for a gift as well. Amber, are you feeling better now?
I know. Sorry. I'm just getting over a cold, so I'll just mute myself if I start to cough. But yeah, I think we, you know, it's funny, Sarah, you mentioned the celebrity angle. And I think that's when we covered it before, is when Ashton Kutcher got involved, when he actually was offering up fancy boxes, basically boxes curated with different items that he liked. And
oh gosh, that's right.
That became a really popular service because people just wanted to get a sense of the type of items that he may want to put in a box like this. So I'm hearing a lot about Fancy. I mean, I think they do a great job with that curation, with finding interesting things. And I have to wonder, you know, it seems like a very viable business model, whereas with Pinterest, I'm not so sure because they haven't really figured out how to necessarily monetize as much.
Yeah, it's unclear to me how all of these sites and services can all coexist together with certainly different products and different different communities, user bases. But in general, a lot of what seems like an overall similar theme, that you might want to buy stuff or collect stuff or have sort of I would like this list, and the Fancy, Pinterest, Amazon wish lists, something like Guilt Group. A lot of this, to me, even though the models are slightly different, kind of feels the same. Like, hey, here's some stuff that you didn't even know you wanted, and it's displayed. Fab.com also kind of the same idea in a way that you know, makes it easy for you to learn more about the product and buy it.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that still astonishes me, though, is the valuation of this company, you know, where they talk about it being valued at a whopping $600 million based on this article. Now, they mention their sales, I think it was for last year, maybe they made $3 million, if I'm right, or $3 million, $3 million a month. Okay, so substantially more. But still, it just, I don't know. I don't know how these things last, but I feel like they have a decent business model with the subscription boxes as well as being able to sell products. And they are going, it seems, after a more high-end clientele than perhaps Pinterest.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe that's, Pinterest is a little bit more of like an everything. And I think, Amber, you and I are still coming to terms with, so yeah, what are all the things that Pinterest can do? Because we've got sort of like parody accounts. There's stuff that's clearly about products and, you know, the sort of affiliate links involved. And then there's the Fancy, which is sort of more about buying. So I thought it was interesting to look at, considering that they just got a bunch of money. They're valued very high, and it looks like they're not going anywhere anytime soon.
Definitely not. Now, Sarah, I know you're probably excited about this next article, and I have to tell you that this makes me want to start using Path again more, because I used Path when it first came out, and I loved it, and then I was switching phones, and I just stopped using it. But this is exciting, with some new enhancements to Path, one being being able to add stickers to feed comments, and the QR code friend invites. That's kind of interesting, too, and it seems like the iPad version is very slick based on this article on the Next Web.
Yeah, it's sort of a blessing and a curse, really, to be able to put Path stickers into comments. This was something that was previously only offered with Path messaging, which is a private one-on-one conversation that's sort of a back channel compared to the Path friend list, which, of course, maxes out at 150 friends. And we've talked about Path in the past. Some people like it, some people don't, but Amber, I love the stickers. We talked last week about Facebook adding sticker functionality, because Facebook has its own Path-like sticker collections to the web version of Facebook, not just Facebook Messenger app. And that is possibly a good and a bad thing. Yeah, I kind of felt like, you know, and Facebook's a little bit different, because if everybody can add stickers, what's that going to do to long comment threads? It's kind of going to look...
You get a little messy.
A little messy, a little juvenile, maybe. Path might be a little bit different, just because the nature of the network is that there probably aren't too many people who would be participating in your conversation that you wouldn't get a kick out of getting a sticker from, because they're supposed to be your really good friends. So there's a little bit more of it keeps everything a little bit under control, a little less unruly. But at the same time, sometimes I just kind of have to laugh at myself, the fact that stickers excite me at all. I mean, the whole thing is pretty silly. However, as far as Path is concerned, they're trying to make money. right? Yeah. And if they've got sticker packs that are not free, they're, you know, $1.99 or whatever for a sticker pack. I've bought many. And they're only for private messages. Well, Amber, you and I aren't really private messaging each other on Path, so I might be less inclined to buy more sticker packs. But if I know that I can use them anytime I comment on anybody's update, then the Path could make more money off of me.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I think the stickers make some sense. I'm a little bit curious about what you think in terms of the QR codes, being able to create your own QR code so people can easily follow you on Path. I mean, QR codes have been beat up on so much in the past year or two. And I don't know, would you use this, Sarah, as someone who uses Path a lot?
No, absolutely
not. That's
what
I figured.
Well, and the thing is it's supposed to be a way for me to quickly generate a QR code, someone scans it, and then we become Path friends. If I'm, you know, standing next to them by the water cooler or at a party or at a conference or something like that. And I guess my thinking of that is, no, but that's not really how I use Path. In fact, every so often I have to dump somebody as a Path friend because I'm at my 150 friend limit. And it's not for any reason other than I say, okay, well, who uses Path the least? Because they won't even care that they're not my Path friend because they're not using it anyway. So I don't have a need to be like, hey, person I just met, we should be Path friends.
Exactly.
And overshare with each other. Let me generate a QR code because you don't know how to add me manually.
It just goes against the nature of Path, right?
Yeah.
In some ways.
Yeah.
I totally agree with you. It just seems a little odd.
And it kind of gets a little, it feels pushy too. It's like, we're going to create yet another way for you to easily make a friend. And it's like, yeah, I don't know. I think you're underestimating the fact that we understand how contact lists work and how to look somebody up in a search functionality.
Especially the Path audience. You know, we're not, this isn't a massive audience who's not tech savvy. I mean, most of the people I know on Path really have a good sense of how to do things on the internet and find usernames. I mean, it's not that difficult. So definitely interesting. Well, Sarah, we talked about cats and now we're going to talk about sharks.
Oh, my goodness. It's my least favorite animal as compared to my most favorite animal. Wonderful.
I couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
So this is our meme of the week. And I didn't even know this was such a big meme until I was reading an article on CNN that talked about this movie on the Sci-Fi Channel. And it's called Sharknado. And it's really just a tornado of sharks, believe it or not. And it generated a ton of buzz and a ton of tweets. And there are some massive numbers, in fact, as far as how many people have been talking about Sharknado, kind of poking fun at the movie. But nonetheless, it's generated a lot of buzz for the movie as well.
Yeah. In fact, Amber, before I even knew that this was a movie or anything, I was seeing friends of mine post like hashtag Sharknado
sort of
jokes on Twitter. And I was like, yeah, this probably has to do something with Shark Week. Didn't we already have Shark Week? I don't know, something like that. But I was seeing the references online before I even knew what the context was from all sorts of people, which was odd. It's so funny. You know, the CNN clip that we're looking at that shows Sharknado is Michaela Pereira, who used to work with me at Tech TV. It's kind of funny to see her on CNN now. It's like, yay, we really are all connected.
Who's also Canadian, Sarah.
Who's also Canadian. That's right. She's from Vancouver, I think, right?
Yeah.
That's yay! Everyone's connected, not Canadian. Yes. So this reminds me, Amber, of Snakes on a Plane. That's exactly what it reminds me of. I remember when Snakes on a Plane came out. Gosh, what was it, like 2005 or something like that? And there was all this talk about how horribly bad the movie was, and therefore it was great because it was so bad it was good. I'm getting the sense that Sharknado is the same sort of genre here.
Yeah, it feels a lot like that. And I'm just looking at some of the stats from this BuzzFeed article that mentioned that there were 5,000 tweets per minute and 387,000 social media mentions of Sharknado. I think this was just starting last night. And the peak of this was at 11 p.m. last night. So the creators of this movie are obviously loving the buzz. They're loving the attention. It just kind of begs the question that even if you create content that really isn't maybe that great and compelling to a mass audience, if it has some weird meme-like appeal to it almost, can it become a success? And in this case, the answer is yes. It seems like the producers of the movie are thrilled. They're thinking of running it, having another run again later this summer and playing it again. And I'm sure they'll build on the attention that they've gotten from this.
Yeah, absolutely. Sharknado.
Sharknado. Watch out, Sarah. Watch out.
So it's just like a tornado in the ocean that spews sharks onto land.
Yeah.
Then
totally possible.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to have nightmares now about that. Sounds awful. Sharknado, it's the new Twitter sensation. Well, I suppose we'll probably be able to look forward to some sort of a sequel.
Unfortunately, yes.
Sharknado, you know, rises again or something like that. I don't know.
It'll never stop.
Sharknado, yeah. For a good time, type in #Sharknado on Twitter search and go nuts.
Yeah, right, there's a lot of stuff.
Let's move on to our spotlight of the week. This is a bit of a disconcerting spotlight about facelifts being advertised on Facebook.
This is kind of, you know, it's an article on Mashable, and the gist of it is Facebook facelifts. So it turns out that there is a plastic surgeon who is based in India who's well known at in terms of giving people Facebook facelifts, a lot of demand over there, and probably not just there, and other places around the world where people want to look good on Facebook. And so they're willing to go under the knife and get everything from laser treatment to chin augmentation and these other procedures to, in this case, increase their chances at finding a partner in life. And they're trying to make their Facebook profile pictures look better. And all I'm thinking, Sarah, I mean, I think this is terrible in many, many ways. And I'm thinking, Photoshop.
You think so?
Photoshop. Well, I mean, no, why don't you just use Photoshop? I mean, you shouldn't, but if you're...
Oh, I see what you're saying.
You know what I mean?
Like, yes, yes, yes.
Are you really going to go that far for a photo? Like, I just, it's mind-boggling.
Well, I mean, the thing is it seems like this story is centered around some users in India specifically. Now, in India, there's quite a bit of... arranged marriages that are still happening, or, you know, people who are looking for a mate that might be a little bit less conventional than, you know, falling in love and meeting organically type of a thing. It's this woman was who they're showing, and the people who are watching the video version of the show was talking about how you know, it's important that you look good, because this might be actually someone's first impression of you who might end up being your partner in life. So in that sense, it's really important to have the best pictures possible, not just like stupid pictures that were taken of you at a party type thing. But in order to get plastic surgery for those photos, I mean, that goes a whole, that's a whole nother thing, because that's not really about Facebook anymore. That's about augmenting your appearance because you have insecurity
overall
issues.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's one of those things where it's not necessarily a good trend. And I think, you know, there are lots of people who go and take pictures and then they tweak them using filters and editing, whatever it might be, to look better on Facebook. And then in person, maybe they just don't look that good. But that's a trend that, you know, many people are doing, which is a lot less expensive than going under the knife.
Yeah, I think everyone should
disturbing.
Just, you know, be ourselves.
Yes.
Maybe it's because I've looked at too many OkCupid profiles where I'm like, that's a pretty handsome guy. And then not the same in real life.
No.
Nope.
A little misleading, right?
A little misleading. Don't want them to go under the knife, though.
No.
I just think that we should all be a little bit more comfortable with how
stop
we
using your high school photos.
That's right. Yes. You're a lot older than that now, sir. That's not what I'm looking for anyway. Okay, let's get into some of our viewer feedback. We got a message from Melissa. She works as a digital content manager at Western University. She says, in the last week, one of our work Twitter accounts was duplicated. That account is now deleted. But then also one of my personal accounts was duplicated to a, I won't even, it's not even worth it to say the Twitter name of the copied account, but she says they copied our display name, bio text, website, and picture. Both duplicate accounts were putting out random junk that didn't even make sense. I was wondering if there's a known new spam or bot trend, and if there's any way to report something like this. I figured I'd go to the all-knowing social media source to find out. Thank you. Well, I guess my advice to Melissa would, I mean, you can, as a Twitter user, if you're logged into Twitter, you can certainly report an account as spam. You just go to that account's profile page and click mark as spam. But you can also, through the Help Center, report an account for impersonation, which goes a step farther than like, oh yeah, this is a spam account. They, you know, basically at replied me and there was a gobbledygook message that I see they've sent to, you know, the same 100 people in the last hour. Mm. But an impersonation account goes against Twitter's terms of service, And that's a little bit more serious, right? Because that could be, that's actually trying to fool people into thinking that you're somebody that you're not. So we'll have a link to that in our show notes. It's basically just a straightforward Twitter impersonation account form. And if you suspect that somebody is trying to get away with, misrepresenting you, I knew I'd get to it eventually. Or you just don't like the fact that they're using your photo and stuff like that, even if they don't have any followers, definitely do go through the process because it helps Twitter get stronger knowing what out there is junk and should not be live.
Yeah. You know, this happened to a friend of mine probably a month ago, and it was really frightening because someone had gone on and, you know, he's relatively well known. Someone had gone on and created an account and was acting as him and posting very realistic messages and taking photos that he had actually posted online and reposting them. And I got duped. I thought it was this guy that I knew. And this individual started sending me DMs and chatting. And then in one of the DMs, he asked for my Twitter username and password. And I'm thinking to myself, it's kind of weird. But this went on for 2 or 3 weeks that we were having conversations because I thought it was a guy that I knew and it was totally someone else. So I didn't realize how often this happens, but it's very scary and can be dangerous too as far as identity theft and other things.
Yeah, exactly. So yes, Melissa, hopefully that's helpful for you and anybody else who's come across something like this. And if there are other instances, whether it's something, you know, that you've personally gone through or a specific case that you think kind of plays into this issue of impersonation on Twitter or Facebook or elsewhere, and you've got a good story behind it, do write us at thesocialhour@twit.tv. Let us know. And we'll use that information in a future show as it relates to stories that we feature. Got another email from Hiroshi. He's coming to us from Japan. He says, in your last show, you talked about stamps. And wow, I didn't realize the word emoji is officially used in English as well. I think he means path stickers. Emoji is a Japanese local feature, I've always thought, he says, but now it's getting global. When I used to use feature phones, Japanese ones, I used emoji instead of train, for example, instead of typing the word train, T-R-A-I-N. He says, is this how it's used in North America as well? Or are people possibly using it as some sort of emoticon? I'm wondering if there's a difference in how emoji is used depending on the region that you're in. Well, Amber, I know that for me, emoji is almost always used as a funny joke, not necessarily hey, I could type a sentence faster by using an emoticon for a happy face in a train or a plane or a bowl of soup or that sort of thing. I think that my friends and I sometimes will send each other sentences that are written in emoji and that's supposed to be deciphered by the recipient, and it's kind of a challenge to do so. Like, what are you saying? Oh, let me try to put this together. But not really something that we're using as like a shorthand for actual words.
Yeah, exactly. I think you're right. I mean, most people that I know who do this, I think that they tend to do it where they're kind of, you know, poking fun or they want to have some cute or quirky remark or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
And I think it's also an age thing. You know, I do see a younger generation maybe using it in a different way, maybe more like our viewers explaining here in terms of using it to just explain things because they don't want to type. I could see that happening. But generally speaking, I think it's usually kind of in fun, in good fun.
In good fun. Yeah, I would say that, Hiroshi. And also, it's emoji is probably something that has been around since it originated in the Japanese market for smartphone or for feature phones, rather. Since it's a little bit more of a mature market, there's probably a little bit less of the novelty of like, hey, I can send somebody a little flower and then a building and somehow that's supposed to mean something. It's more of a communication tool because you've had more time with it. Mm-hmm. And you know, markets differ in that way. So throwing it out to our viewers, if you use emoji in a way that we have not covered, either as like a haha jokey thing or as a way to just get through a sentence quicker without having to type out those pesky letters or characters You should let us know about that too.
Yeah, definitely let us know. Now we have a Twitter account of the week. We don't always have this section in the show, but it looks like Benjamin Dorsey from St. Paul, Minnesota, had sent us a little string of messages on Twitter that went out between Bank of America and a few different people. And it all started with one tweet that basically was a tweet from, let me find the individual, from someone who says, just got chased away by NYPD for obstructing sidewalk while chalkifying with a certain individual outside Bank of America headquarters, and then took a picture. And then friends of his on Twitter are responding to that. And Bank of America, it appears, is auto-tweeting things like, hi, Mr. Timmons, I work for Bank of America. What happened? Anything I can do to help? And as more and more tweeting with the Bank of America Twitter username, which was just used in that first tweet, kind of mentioning that that was the location the person was at, we see a string of other messages where Bank of America continues to say to at Occupy Los Angeles, for example, we'd be happy to review your account with you to discuss any concerns. Please let us know if you need assistance. And that exact tweet goes on and on to other people through this string of messages. So this is an example of social media not done well, but in some ways, they've done it in a way where people might believe it's true. But when you see all of the tweets together, you realize there's something robotic happening here.
Yeah. I mean, the whole thing is like, this is a person who's basically protesting the idea of big banks.
Yes.
And tweets something that ends up mentioning Bank of America. This sort of spurs a automated, hi, how can I help you? I am from Bank of America tweet back. Other people jump on board making fun of the fact that Bank of America is basically using these bot responders, which I've suspected. Sometimes I've gotten these responses not from B of A, but other companies that, you know, I've called out in the past where it's like, boy, somebody was on that really quickly. It almost seems too human to be true.
Too human, yeah.
Yeah. And it, sure enough, it's like this is clearly not the same person and not even a person at all, because if it actually was a person that was paying attention, they would understand the context that, no, these people aren't actually looking for somebody from Bank of America to reach out and help them with, like, their, you know, forgotten password type of a thing to get into their online banking. These are people who are against the concept of Bank of America altogether. So this is certainly not the way to go about it. It's interesting. Mm-hmm. It's a verified account, BofA_help. This is supposed to be something that is taken seriously, but it's certainly ineffective. And that's not going to help anybody who actually has a legitimate concern, because you're not actually getting anywhere. So it's kind of like, Amber, I don't know what's worse, a company not being on the ball or a company that is trying to make it seem like they're on the ball, but yet not on the ball at all, and ends up making a large company, you know, a huge company in Bank of America's case, look even more clueless.
Yeah, I mean, I think the lesson here for everybody is just to be careful how much you automate in the social media space. And generally speaking, automation doesn't work well on Twitter, especially with responses like this. You know, people want to have that human touch. And when you lose that, I think that this does more harm in some ways to the Bank of America brand. So I think they're trying, and maybe someone thought this was a good solution, but here's a perfect example of how it blew up in their face. So You try to take shortcuts in social media, I think, to be able to get around things like this. And it never works, Sarah. I mean, every week we have examples of big brands who have gone wrong because they've tried to take a shortcut or do something that really did not show the best of their humanness.
Yes.
Indeed. I can say it that way.
Twitter account of the week, Bank of America Help, strikes again. You know, you'd think the big companies would learn, but they have
one day
yet a lot of learning to do. A reminder, we love hearing from all of you. It's great when you send us articles, stuff that you think is great for the show. It often helps us put together our lineup each week. You can write us at thesocialhour@twit.tv. You can leave us a voicemail, 2626 social, 2626 SOCIAL. Or you can record a video, you can upload it, and you can send us the link, and we will add it to a future episode of The Social Hour. Try to keep those questions and comments to 30 seconds or less. All right, before we get to Amber's Rad or Fad, we want to quickly thank Audible. They're our second sponsor of this episode of The Social Hour. Audible.com is awesome. It has over 100,000 downloadable titles of all sorts of books. If you're into literature, if you're into the classics, if you like murder mysteries. If you like funny autobiographies, all of that is on audible.com. What you do, you just go to audiblepodcast.com/social hour. You can... Look, they updated their website a little bit. You can read a little bit more about how it works, some of the plans. If you're interested in putting together like a 2-book-a-month type of plan, I think that's called the Gold Membership. I know Leo loves that. He feels like 2 books a month is perfect. It's just enough that he can realistically get through this. Quite a few books. There might be a stack of books maybe on your nightstand that you're not reading or just. You know, you've written down is like, oh, I heard this book was really good. I should really read it. And you continue to not read it. We've all been there. I'm absolutely guilty of this. There were years that went by that I didn't read any novels because I simply ran out of time. And Audible has actually worked out really well because when I'm trapped somewhere, like when I'm in my car for long periods of time, I commute a lot or I like to go on nice long walks and I sort of want to, I don't know, escape a little bit. Or maybe I'm grocery shopping or in other words, you know, I've got my headphones on and I can listen to books. I can feel like I get through a lot of them and, you know, it keeps me up to date, keeps my brain feeling fresh. And there's something really fun about getting a book read to you, sometimes by the author, by somebody who has really soothing voice. And sometimes it's the last thing I do at night. Audible is great. audiblepodcast.com/socialhour. And we've got a little bit of a gift for you. If you want to download a free audiobook and just give Audible a whirl, we will let you do so and you get to choose the book. We're not telling you which book to read because we don't really care. I mean, everybody's got different tastes and that's fine. Go to audiblepodcast.com/socialhour, get a free book, download it. It's free, yours to keep, and try Audible out. And if you like it, you can sign up for a plan. And that book is yours to keep even if you don't sign up for a plan. So it's just like our little gift to you. Give Audible a try. And we thank Audible for sponsoring this episode of The Social Hour. Again, audiblepodcast.com/socialhour.
All right,
Amber, what's our Radar Fan this week?
Okay, so this is from Germany, and we've talked about 3D printing on the show before. I think we've even talked about perhaps getting your face 3D printed in the past, which takes a long time. Well, this new 3D photo booth basically scans your entire body, and it does it very quickly, just like taking a photo. So it's that quick, happens in the blink of an eye. So you would stand in the little booth, or you could put your pet in a little booth, and they would essentially snap a picture, and then you could get a tiny little statue of your pet or maybe of yourself, actually, Sarah. And that's where things get kind of interesting. There are 7 different size options going from 15 centimeters get up to 35 centimeters. That gets quite expensive if you want a larger version of yourself to put on your desk or something weird like that. But it seems as though 3D printing is getting better and faster, and this could be coming to a shopping mall near you. Who knows?
Oh, my goodness. I don't think I'd want one of myself, that's for sure. But I like the idea of having little 3D printed little bubs.
I know. I think with pets, it's actually kind of cute.
Yeah. 15 centimeters. Okay, so that's pretty darn small.
Yes.
They look really good, though.
Yes. I mean, that's one of the things the article says. It's very, very accurate.
Wow.
It's creepy, yeah. But kind of cool.
It's creepy, all right. Well, I wonder, and we know anything about the prices?
Yes, it has the prices. Hold on 1 second. I know that the prices are listed there as well. And this is the weird thing, Sarah. I have the same reaction. Like, I don't think I would want to have one of these of myself. But if I were there in front of that photo booth and someone offered it up, I would totally do
it. That looks like a real guy.
I know.
I mean,
it's amazing.
Look at the hair and the clothes and everything.
It's
pretty
cool.
I think I want this. Yeah.
So the prices range from $290 to $1,680.
What?
So it's not cheap.
Oh, this is quite a novelty gift for the rich person who has everything, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
Actually, this is from the Cool Hunter. You mentioned the site before.
Oh, yeah.
This article, yeah.
I love it. These are really cool.
It's kind of rad,
Collect
I think.
Collect them all. I guess you never have to stop. You can just...
Collect your whole family.
Collect your whole family. And
friends.
And others. Yeah, you can have your little celebrity... like fireplace mantle of your 3D printed people.
Weddings. Imagine for
weddings.
I mean,
weddings.
Yeah, weddings would be interesting for the couple.
Yeah,
you could. I can imagine a couple do. Yes.
Yeah, that's cool. I think this is very rad.
It's super rad.
I mean, I think honestly, Amber, everything about 3D printing is rad. Although, certainly there are certain things that you go like, ooh, gosh, anybody can print a gun? Well, that's a little scary. Maybe there should be some regulation. But, or at least that's what I think anyway. But in general, I think that 3D printing is super exciting. It obviously really changes the landscape for the idea of, you know, ordering parts and things being expensive and being able to cobble things together or replace something. We had a story on TNT yesterday, I think it was, about being able to 3D print an item using, it's almost like, it almost looks like mercury. It's like hot metallic goo in order to create something. I mean, it's early days of 3D printing, but it's pretty exciting.
It is very exciting. So this is rad. I think we both agree we have a rad here, and it's been a while since we've had a rad because we've had a lot of fads over the past few weeks, if I remember.
Yeah, we've had a lot of fads. You and I are like, well, you know, maybe one day. The world isn't ready for this yet. It's a fad. But this is absolutely rad. Definitely, I'll be getting my little bub 3D printout whenever I raise the money to do so.
One day, Sarah.
One day. Amber, I can't believe we had Lil Bub and her dad, Mike, on the show. I'm still sort of reeling from that whole thing. And you and Tony were able to put such a nice little surprise together for me. It's the best thing in my
worried.
Life. It's not even
I was
my
worried.
Birthday.
I wasn't sure that it would be able to be something that we could surprise you with till the very end, but it worked out well. So thanks to the team at Twit and Tony for helping to set that up.
Well, and you threw me a curveball because somebody on Twitter said something like, oh, wouldn't it be funny if it was like Lil Bub or Grumpy Cat? And you were like, haha, that would be cool.
I know you'd see that.
And I was like, I know, Amber probably doesn't want people saying things like that because then it'll make the surprise less cool.
Yeah.
Because I'll be reminded of what I really want.
Oh, and that person said that Chris was sitting across me. I'm like, oh my gosh, someone knows. And so then I had to respond with that and say, ha, that would be great. Yeah, no. And I was a little bit worried, but I'm glad you saw that. I threw you off, Sarah.
I was like, is it going to be Leo or something? I mean, you know.
Surprise, Leo's on the show.
Someone from your past, remember? But no, that was awesome. I'm going into my weekend smiling from ear to ear. And hopefully, Lil Bub's dad, Mike, doesn't think I'm too much of a psycho because I did say on a previous show that I thought he was really cute. And then there he was, and there was Bub, and I almost couldn't contain myself. So there was that. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Good thing he's all the way in Indiana and far away from Crazy Cat Lady in California.
I'll try to smooth things over.
All right, cool. Thanks so much for everybody for watching and listening this episode of The Social Hour. Amber and I will be back next week for all of you who watch and listen live. Thanks for doing so. It's Fridays, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific. It's a lot of fun. You can come in. You can chat with like-minded individuals in our chat room. Of course, you can watch us on demand as well. twit.tv/TSH is our show website. All of our show archives are there. All of the links to subscribe to the show. It's good times all around. Thanks, everybody, for watching. We will see you next week. Amber, anything good with you coming up until then?
Not too much. Just looking forward to a beautiful weekend here in Toronto. Lots of sunshine and lots of stuff to do around the house. I don't know what that was.
That was Leo's mic is live in his office. Yes, it was.
Hello, it was me.
Oh, it was Brian. All right. Okay. Leo's shouting in there. It wasn't me. Don't blame me yet. Yeah, it was Brian. Brian hit his little, it's like his little, I don't even know what you call that thing.
It's his arm.
It's his mic arm. Yeah.
His mic arm.
They're kind of squeaky. Yeah, there you go.
All good. It was a nice sound effect for my weekend that was sounding kind of boring. So thank you for spicing it up a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely.
I appreciate it.
You feel better, by the way. Thanks for not having too many coughing fits. Hopefully it wasn't too hard to suppress it.
It's all good. So. Just had one, so... happy that little Bub got on the show, and hopefully we'll have a fun one next week too, Sarah.
All right. Bye-bye, everybody. See you next week.
See you soon.